Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. We are so glad that you're all here today, and we are glad to see you. We want to welcome you in God's house this morning. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about, and I know as hard as this seems, that God's love for us is more intense than the love of our mothers. And so we'll talk a little bit about that later on as we look at God's love from a psalm this morning. But we're glad that you're with us. We want to welcome you, and we want to welcome those that may be listening online later on this week on the website there. But let's stand and join together as we sing our Gloria Patria this morning. Together there in our bulletins this morning for our call to worship. God who claims us and sustains us, bless the Holy One, O Church. Witness and testify to all God has done. Well, let's join together there. If you want to sing out of the hymn book, it's hymn number 94. Or you can follow along on the PowerPoint as we sing Love Divine, All Love Excelling this morning. Love Divine, All Love Excelling, Joy of Heaven to Earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter troubled heart. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find the promised rest. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega, end of faith at its beginning. Come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temple leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. She only did three verses for us. Well, let's join together there this morning then for our opening prayer. Glorious God, we praise you this day for the gift of life, which rises in flower beds and fields. We praise you for all our mothers and grandmothers who have supported us along the way. Refresh us with the light you promise as we worship you. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. All right. We're trying to get our kids to come in. Well, this morning we want to take a few moments to honor our mothers in this place today. And so I'm going to start with something. I'm trying to remember. For some reason, I'm thinking I may have shared this years ago. But this is a job description that somebody wrote up for her mother. For her mother. Long-term team players needed for challenging permanent work in an often chaotic environment. Candidates must possess excellent communication and organization skills and be willing to work variable hours, which will include evenings, weekends, frequent 24-hour shifts on call, some overnight travel required, including trips to primitive camping sites on rainy weekends and endless sports tournaments in faraway cities. Travel expenses not reimbursed. Extensive courier duties also required. Must provide on-site training and basic life skills such as nose blowing. Must have strong skills in negotiating, conflict resolution, and crisis management. Ability to suture flesh wounds is a plus. Must be able to think outside the box, but not lose track of the box, because you most likely will need it for a school project. Must reconcile petty cash distribution and be proficient in managing budgets and resources fairly. Unless you want to hear, he got more than me for the rest of your life. Also must be able to drive motor vehicles safely under loud and adverse conditions while simultaneously practicing above mentioned skills in conflict resolution. Must be able to choose your battles and stick to your guns. Must be able to withstand criticism such as, you don't know anything. Must be willing to be hated for at least temporarily until someone needs, well, it says $5, but it's probably $20 to go skating now. Must be willing to bite tongue repeatedly. I'm kind of internally chuckling because I can see Jody's expressions and face and stuff on some of this stuff here. Also must possess the physical stamina of a pack mule and be able to go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds flat in case this time the screams from the backyard are not someone just crying wolf. Must be willing to face stimulating technical challenges such as small gadget repairs, mysteriously sluggish toilets and stuck zippers. Must screen phone calls, maintain calendars, coordinate production of multiple homework projects. Must have the ability to plan and organize social gatherings for clients of all ages and mental outlooks. Must be willing to be indispensable 1 minute and an embarrassment the next. Must handle assembly and product safety testing of 500,000 cheap plastic toys and battery-operated devices. Also must have a highly energetic entrepreneur spirit, because fundraisers will be your middle name. Must have direct knowledge base so as to answer questions such as, what makes the wind move on the fly? Must always hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. Must assume final complete accountability for the quality of the end product. Responsibilities also include floor maintenance and janitorial work throughout the facility. That is a job description for moms. Moms, does that sound realistic? Pretty much. As I was reading through there, in fact, Where is Jody today? I think this is the first time that I can remember, unless she was sick once. She had to take Chase this morning to his second day golf tournament down in Hamilton, Ohio, down by Cincinnati. And mother's job never ends. Sometimes she gets little praise and a lot of accusations, especially when they start to get 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Yes. I questioned my dad and mom a lot. And then the first time I had my own kids, all of a sudden I had all kinds of questions for them. Because mom and dad knew a lot then. Yeah, that's not totally true. But anyways, you understand what I'm talking about this morning. Thank you, moms, for all you do. Thank you for being there for us through thick and thin and everything. So we're going to take a moment. We're going to ask all of our moms and grandmothers if they would stand this morning. And we're going to just take a moment before we pray over them for them to stand, and let's honor them and show our appreciation to them. Come on, moms, stand up. Yes. Come on, that's pretty weak. Let's show our appreciation. There you go. All right, you can be seated. Like I did last year for Father's Day, we're going to join together and do this in a litany this morning. And it's two PowerPoints, so I will read the regular part. You will read the italics underlined part there in response for our mothers today. Let's join together this morning. Mothers come in many ways, and today we celebrate them. Everyone here is either a son or a daughter. For those who have joined God in heaven, whom we miss. For all the women who are expecting. For the women who took in others, children through adoption and foster care. For those women who have lost a child to death and carry on.
Thank God for these mothers. Carry their faith, carry them.
For all the women who have desperately wanted to have children, but chose instead to mother everyone else.
Thank God for mothers in spirit.
Let's join together, all of us. We thank you, Lord, for all these mothers who have influenced our lives in so many ways. We pray that they will be honored in everything they do. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, our kids are coming now, and they're going to share a song with us first. And I forgot, I got to get these out here. I forgot about that. You guys don't trip. You guys can come on up. Hold on a minute here. I gotta check to make sure I got the right one turned on. Let's see here. Yep, that's it. Where? Oh, okay. Let her start off. You ready? Make sure you hold it up to your nose.
Mom, have I told you lately how much you mean to me? Everything you do for me, your love and advice make me who I am. Mama, look, Mom. Mom, hey, Mom. Mom, look, Mom.
Mama.
They can just go down, yeah, and sit down. Yeah, that's fine. Go on, step down.
Oh, let me get in here. I thought that was funny at the end when you guys all started hollering, Mom, 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 Mom. So Jody's not here, so she probably won't hear this till later anyways. But the card that Chase got for Jody for Mother's Day is Mom. It says on the front of it, Mom, 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 Mom. Yeah, and then inside it talks about how that can be a good thing, like I need help, or it can be an annoying thing. So are you guys doing anything special today? Huh? To go, are you like with Mom or Grandma? I see some of you are here with Grandma today, aren't you? Yes. Yes. Well, hi there. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Yes, you are. Yes. So, we were singing that song in my outside. You guys were happy all the time because of Jesus. But you know what? Thank God for moms. Mom? Is it Mom? Is it for Mom? That Mom helps bring us to Jesus. Yes. Where? I bet she's looking for Mom. Or wants to go. So on this Mother's Day, we are thankful for our mom's love. Are you thankful for your mom's love? Yes. How do you know Mom loves you? How do you know that? She says it. That's one way. What's another way? What's another way? She takes care of us. What else? What's another way that Mom, that you know Mom loves you? She tells you. She takes care of you. You gonna say something? What else? What else? Who cooks for you?
Mom.
Yeah. How many of you pack a lunch when you go to school? You pack a lunch? Do you pack that lunch in the morning before you go to school?
No.
Who does that?
Mom.
Yeah, maybe once in a while Dad does it. But it's usually Mom, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Who helps you pick up your room?
Mom.
Mom, yeah. Mom and Dad? That's good. That's good. Mom doesn't do it? She probably just says, you get that cleaned up, doesn't she? Yeah. I even remember when I got older, was a teenager, my mom was still giving me a hard time about picking up clothes off the floor and stuff. Yeah, so thank God for our mom. So that's another way that we know, all those ways, is how we know that Mom loves us. Okay, why is that? Why is that? Is love just an ooey-gooey feeling? Oh, is that love? You probably don't understand that yet, but wait till you get a little older, you might start thinking love's that way. Yes. No, what is love? What is love, true love? It's somebody that is committed to us. Why does Mom do all those things? Because she loves you, but she's committed to you. You're her daughter. You're her son. Yeah, yes. And Mom is always there with us, no matter what's going on. Now, sometimes, what happens when you can't find Mom? Is it freaky? You get scared? Hey, where's Mom? Mom! You don't? Are you kind of glad when Mom disappears? I remember hiding in the clothes things at the shopping stores. You know, they had clothes racks, and I would go and hide in there, and then I would boom and scare my mom. She'd go, "Where are you, Jason?" And I'd boom, come out and scare her. She goes, "Don't do that. Give me a heart attack." You know, or whatever she said. I don't know if she said that. But they're there for us. They're committed to us because they love us. Guess what? How do we know God loves us? Because God is committed to us. Like I say almost every Sunday, God never leaves us. God is always with us, even though we can't see God. God is always with us and loves us because God is committed to us. Loyal, unfailing, steadfast, never leaves, always there with us. And how do you know that? Because God loves us. Just like Paul. Just like Paul. All right. You guys are downstairs, I believe, this morning. And you can head that way this morning. And we're going to go to our time of prayer.
Whew, I think it's harder getting up off that floor than what it used to be. Maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning with us, and we want to give you a chance to share that. And so, somebody this morning, joy or concern? That's great. All right. So we want to remember Linda, and we want to remember Jody. She's sounding much better and back to kind of her normal self. But they're really working her now with physical therapy. And Smoke came through his surgery. Well, some of you don't know. The prayer chain people may know. Smoke fell this week and broke his... They thought he broke his hip where he had a hip replacement, but I guess it was the femur in his leg, and it was turned, but surgery went well. They're hoping that he will get to come home or go to rehab. I'm not sure all the details of that yet on Tuesday, but he's in Miami Valley Hospital there. And then Barney, although Barney's helping us out back there with ushering this morning, but keep him in his prayer as he's had that disc that's been bothering him in his lower back. And I definitely know what that was like. So somebody else. Yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay. I saw another hand.
Unspoken.
Okay. Any others this morning?
My King.
Okay.
His lungs.
Yeah. Somebody else? Yeah.
I have a joy. My granddaughter's going to be graduating, and yesterday we had a graduation party, and I want to thank Kathy and Dana Maxson for everything they did for us. People.
Yes. Yeah. So thank God for that. Yes. Somebody else? Anybody else this morning? All right. Well, there's some there that we want to remember. And David's going to play here in just a moment some music. And it'll give you a chance to pray for some of these names and folks that comes to your mind there. And maybe something you came in with today that you need to talk to God about.
You can do that quietly there in your seats, and then I will come and close us out. As we pause today, we are so grateful that we can come to you just as we are, just as I am. And Lord, that you love us and that you care about us. I'm thinking about even our moms who show us that same kind of love, that love us just the way we are. And thank God for that. And we're so grateful for your goodness. Lord, we think about those that were mentioned today that need our prayers. Lord, we pray for Linda today, for recovery, for Smoke today, for healing and recovery today, for Jody for recovery, and for Barney for healing in his back, Lord, that lower back and that disc, God. Lord, we lift up Mike to you today for healing in his lungs and your grace to be extended to him. Lord, we lift up our graduates, Lord, that will be graduating here in the next couple weeks. Thank you for all of them and bless, Lord. We think about these five unspoken needs today and maybe others that didn't mention something today, Lord, whatever the need may be. We are grateful and thankful that you can work in those situations. And we ask that you would, and prayers that were lifted up for those specific situations and those that lifted up their own maybe special prayers today. God, we just stand in agreement with them, asking that you would work as only you can do. And we're grateful and thankful today. Lord, we're so thankful for our mothers, as we mentioned earlier, and all that they've done. We just ask that you would bless them and watch over them. And I think about some of our family, church family members that are not here with us this morning because they are there with their children or with their mothers today. Watch over all of them and bring them back safely to join us again. And we thank you for that. We ask your blessing upon the rest of this service. As we break the bread of your word, may you just speak to our hearts today and encourage us and help us to realize that, God, your love is unfailing. It never ceases and never comes to an end. And we are so grateful for that faithfulness that is yours towards us, and that we know that because of Jesus, when he came into our world and he gave his life and showed us God's love for the world. And we're thankful and grateful for all of those things. We continue to pray for peace in our world, in these places where war and violence and so many things that are going on. And God, we just pray for grace and strength and in so many places, even our own nation and for our own people today. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for being with us. As we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for praying with us this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. And just thank you for your faithfulness and your giving each week. And that's how, or bi-weekly or monthly, however you give, it sustains the work here in this local church and our missions and outreach from that. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there in the bulletin for our prayer of dedication. Generous God, you made us in love to share that love with others as Jesus commanded. Use our gifts in service of your kingdom. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from our lectionary psalm today, Psalm 66, and we're going to be reading verses 8 through 12, and then verses 16 through 20 this morning. You can follow along there on the PowerPoint. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out into a spacious place. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has heard the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. That is God's word for us today. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, a Catholic priest and a Baptist minister and a Jewish rabbi and an Episcopalian countryman are discussing the question of when life begins. The Catholic priest states life begins at the moment of conception. The Baptist minister says, no, it begins when that baby is viable and it should be born and be able to live. The rabbi says, no, life does not begin until the very moment of birth and it takes its first breath. The Episcopal countryman argues, well, in my opinion, life begins when the children go off to college. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about God's love, or God's unfailing love. One day, a man stopped at a flower shop in order to order some flowers. He wanted them to be sent to his mother, who lived 200 miles away. As he got out of his car, he noticed a young girl sitting on the curb sobbing. He asked her, "What's wrong?" And she replied, "I wanted to buy a red rose for my mother, but I only have 75 cents. And the rose cost $2. The man immediately smiled and said, "You come with me into the flower shop. I will buy you a rose." He bought the little girl a rose and then arranged for the flower to be wired to his mother. As they left the store, he asked the girl if she needed a ride. "Yes, please. You can take me to my mother," she replied. She then directed him to a nearby cemetery, and she placed the rose on her mother's grave. As I was thinking about that and read that this week, I thought, what a picture of a child's love for and commitment to her mother that was no longer with her. What about God's love for us? And God's commitment to us. How do we know about that? Well, let's look at that this morning from our psalm. And let's look at it in a couple ways here. First of all, I want you to say that God's love remains. God's love remains. You know, most of the time, you probably heard me say this hundreds, if not probably thousands of times, talking about God's love for us. But that still doesn't mean that at times when we face life and go through difficulties and everything, that in the back of our head, that thought might rattle around a little bit that says, wow, does God really love me? I mean, this is pretty difficult I'm going through right now. Does God really love me? Or does God still love me? Something of that variation at times. But I want to remind you what the psalmist and the rest of Scripture says over and over. And as I was trying to say to the children a little bit ago, and I don't know if they picked it up because they're probably not old enough, because as we grow old, a little older, we start to think of love as an emotion, as a feeling. Oh, he's so cute. I'm just in love with him, kind of a thing. Or something like that. But listen to the word, and there is a Hebrew word in the Old Testament for that. But listen to the word that the psalmist used here, which is hesed, which is a different word. It's covenant love, covenant faithfulness. And listen to the way our translations bring that out. Unfailing, steadfast, faithful, constant. And as John Goldengay says in his Psalm commentary, this word really means more than anything else, God's commitment to us. God's commitment to us. That never fails. That's always steadfast. That's always faithful. That's always constant. But the psalmist kind of says that in the midst of some things that are going on in his life or her life, whoever who was. Because the psalmist says that God's love or unfailing love leads us through trials in life. Leads us through trials. Now, let's go back to what I said a moment ago. When we're going through those trials, when we're going through that difficult times, and I don't know if you're like me, but every so often, just in the back, that little thought pops in there. God, do you love me? Are you watching out for me? Why am I going through this? You know, all of those kind of questions, the big why questions. But listen to this. The psalmist describes a time when God led the community through dangerous and difficult situations. The psalmist describes that in a lot of different ways, like trying times or going through fire or going through floods. Things that we're familiar with. And the psalmist believes that such times tried or examined them like silver being refined. Well, what's silver? How's silver refined? Well, it's an image of when the person will turn up the heat so the impurities in the silver will come to the top, can be skimmed off so that the silver is pure. Such a picture shows God's commitment while leading us through the fire and flood, resulting in purification and deliverance. Both things happening simultaneously. Have you ever felt that heat get turned up in your life before where you thought, whoa, this is crazy? Or to speak to moms, you know, when one of the kids is up at 2 a.m. and it's got 104 fever and then another one comes out and says the same thing and you're like, ah, and you're like pulling out your hair. All of a sudden, everything starts piling up. But thank God that God's with us. And goes with us. God's unfailing love, constant love, goes with us through those times. And thank God for that, that commitment to us. See, we too carry burdens on our backs. People may trample us. In the psalmist's day, that meant horses. We got defeated and horses were running over people. Today, we use a different expression. Have you ever said this before? Man, I felt like I got hit by a Mack truck. Yeah. Ugh. I mean, it was hard. Or maybe you've been through the fire and floods. But the good news this morning is that God's love abides. And I like that so much because Jesus says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. like that little girl's love for and commitment to her mother that I read at the beginning. God's love for and commitment to us is everlasting. That steadfast love, as the psalmist says, preserves us by keeping our feet from slipping. Have you ever slipped on something? Wet concrete? Or and when we were kids and we were walking along a pond or the lake and we had to walk on those rocks and they would be wet and phoom, next thing you know, you're landing on that rock. Keeps our feet, preserves us when we might want to give up and quit. Life can be challenging and hard, can it? But we keep pressing on because God's love remains. Here's another good part of it. God's love leads us to a spacious place. Now, what in the world is that all about? Well, first of all, it suggests that God's unfailing love overflows. It's overflowing. This word for spacious place refers to a place of rest and relief. Isn't there? Okay, so I got to be on the go. I can get stir crazy sometimes when I'm by myself. You know what I'm saying? I love to be around people. I'm outgoing. But let me tell you, there are times, and this just happened to me this week, where I was just there. It was just quiet. And I'm like, I need this right now. I just need this for right now. Just some moments. Just to be, everything to just calm down. That spacious place, God leads us to those places of rest and relief. But not only that, but flourishing. Especially after times of trial and difficulty. Oh, we need those times. Who else says something like that? My cup overflows. Psalm 23, the psalmist says, verse 5. And it's interesting, if you read that, those three words there, my cup overflows, in the context of the 23rd Psalm, it's talking about when the psalmist is under God's protection while sitting and facing enemies. When we're in the heat, when things are going wrong, when trials are facing us, we can have our cups overflowing. This morning, when I got up this morning, I always do my devotional thing that I use all the time, an app on my phone and or on my iPad. And today, I was thinking about this new translation that I had gotten, and it's from a Native American perspective. There's the New Testament so far that they have translated, and the Psalms and Proverbs. So I read the first four chapters of the Psalms in this, and you know what they said? Called God Grandfather. Grandfather. And as I began to read it, it just spoke to me. And it was like somebody was just washing me. Because I remember my grandfather, Grandpa Egbert. I remember him and what he was for me. And in the Native American culture, that person's the key figure in the family, in the household. And I started thinking about that, and I read it, and it just ministered to me in such a special way. And it was just like somebody was just feeding me in that moment. And I think that was just God's love just ministering to me. God's love has a way not only of replacing what we've lost or we feel empty at times, because sometimes going through the trials, going through the struggles, afterwards, we just kind of feel empty. And we need a filling up again. But God's love has a way of replacing what we lost and really multiplying that. God's love leads us to a spacious place because God's love is overflowing. And then another part of this, as the psalmist says right there at the end, is that God's unfailing love gives heed to our prayers. Gives heed. That's an old language, isn't it? Give heed. What does that mean? It means God attends to our prayers. God gives undivided attention to us. God shares in our sorrows and our joys when we come and bring those things to God. It's like one of my friends that was a resident advisor on our floor my freshman year in Bible college. He's the one that said, Jason, you can go in and you can tell God anything. Anything, how you're feeling inside. Because God already knows it's there. Because we think, oh, if I complain or if I grumble or talk about my history at 7:30 in the morning, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday or whatever, that, you know, we're just taking up God or that's too sacrilegious. God's not interested in that. And he said, nope, you can tell God anything because God already knows it's in your heart. And he says, we need to get it out and give it to God. God does not shout at us. God is not indifferent to us. But God attends and listens. And let me tell you, we're going to fail as human beings listening to one another. My wife, Jody, I shouldn't talk about her on Mother's Day. But sometimes I frustrate her when I say, huh? Too many times. What? Because she thinks I'm not listening. And it may be true that sometimes does happen. Or there usually is background noise and I can't hear what she's saying. But God listens. God listens. When our best friend isn't listening, when our doctor's not listening, when our spouse is not listening, when our kids are not listening, when our best friend is not listening. And here's the thing I want us to keep in mind. Just because God does not respond immediately does not mean God is not listening. Because God always listens. Why? Because we're so accustomed to everything. My son, I see that more, and even at times with me, because we can get things instantly now. I was looking for something for Jody for Mother's Day, and I went to 4 stores. And as I was walking out of the last one, I thought, I should have just went to Amazon and ordered something. But my thought is, I want to support these local places. That's important, you know. And sometimes we get so accustomed that it's got to be now that creeps over into our relationship with God. And we think God's got to do it now. Because if God doesn't do it now, then maybe God doesn't care when we don't receive immediate results. As you know, hold up guys, stay out a minute. Stay out a minute. As you know, Mother's Day got its official start, well, maybe you don't know, in 1914, when President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. This came after years of campaigning by Anna Jarvis from Philadelphia. I didn't even really know much about this. But she actually began her quest in 1907 when her home church in West Virginia held a Mother's Day celebration before there ever was a Mother's Day. She, however, wasn't the first to suggest the idea. Julia Ward Howe, who, by the way, wrote the words to the battle hymn of the Republic, held an organized Mother's Day meeting in Boston, Massachusetts in 1872. It took over 40 years to make Mother's Day an official day in the life of our nation. My point being that just because God doesn't answer immediately may not mean that God will not someday answer. And it may not be the way we want it or the way we think it should be, but God is always listening. Because long before there was a Mother's Day, there were mothers being honored. God's love for us is more intense than the love of our mothers. God's love remains, abides, it's steadfast, it's unfailing, it's committed through thick and thin, through trying times. And thank God that we come to spacious places where God's love overflows and we can feel it so easily. And God attends and hears our prayers. God's love, amazing. Amen. Well, take a moment or so and shake a few hands and greet one another this morning. And then we will close out with our little chorus there, "Oh, how he loves you and me." Going to sing our last little chorus there. If you want to use the hymn book, you can turn to 523 this morning or follow along on the PowerPoint this morning as we sing about, "Oh, how he loves you and me." Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus, to Calvary did go, his love for sinners to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how let's join together for our benediction in the bulletin there. Go forth from this place with God's presence. May the Holy One grant us strength and courage for the journey and peace to love and serve in God's good creation. Amen. Amen.